CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast. Now, here's your host, Katie Comley.
Good evening. Coming up on the program, Vancouverites took to the street yesterday to celebrate 420, gas prices hit a new high, and this week Phil Caudry discusses how foreign policy and national security issues are not on the mind of the Canadian voter. We'll have all this, plus arts and your five-day weather forecast coming up this half hour right here on News 101. But first, with a look at what's happening locally, we turn to our News 101 reporters, Carrie Baptist and Leanne Yu.
The large rally at the Vancouver Art Gallery yesterday, celebrating 420, has sparked some controversy within the Vancouver City Council. Councillor Kim Capri feels that the rally flew in the face of the city's current Civil City program. She says that part of the Civil City program is to address the drug situation in Vancouver, and that despite the fact that many Vancouverites support marijuana legalization, this is not for the city to decide, and drugs are still illegal. Vision Vancouver councillor George Chow disagrees. He feels that it is time to reopen the debate on marijuana legalization. It is commonly known that many Vancouverites smoke pot, and so the problem for the city, he says, is how to deal with it. Currently, he feels the city is not dealing with Vancouver with pot legalization very well, and this puts the police in a very difficult position. Chow says the police shouldn't overreact to rallies like the 420 rally on Saturday, even though what people are doing is technically illegal. On Sunday at the rally, there was a police presence, but no arrests were made, since the rally remained peaceful. Vancouver Police Constable Jana McGinnis says the police were monitoring the rally and would have stepped in if participants had contributed to street disorder or other problems.
As the price of crude oil hits a new high, Vancouver drivers are facing new predictions about high summer gas prices. Currently in Vancouver, drivers face gas prices of $1.27 and up. Some experts are predicting, though, that by summer, gas prices will be up to $1.40 or even $1.50. Already on Salt Spring Island, gas is $1.41 per liter. In North Vancouver this morning, some said that the high cost of gas was changing their personal habits. One man said that money he used to spend going out or to eat or going to a concert is now being spent on gas. Another man said he changed from a vehicle with a V8 engine to one with four cylinders in order to get better gas mileage. Another man estimates that he spends $400 to $500 a month on gas, about 10% of his gross income.
The man suspected to have been responsible for a rash of vandalism across Metro Vancouver was arrested early this morning. The alleged vandal is thought to have keyed about 500 cars, resulting in damages and inconveniences for automobile owners. VPD Constable Tim Fanning says the suspect has been convicted of similar crimes before. He has been on probation for the past couple of months. The man is believed to be the culprit of the keying of 80 vehicles at the Science World parking lot last weekend. 110 cars were keyed across Coquitlam and Burnaby Easter weekend. And about 300 automobiles were keyed around Silver City in Coquitlam 2 weeks before. Police caught the alleged vandal in the act at 1 a.m. this morning. Someone reported a man scratching at least 15 cars in the area of East 6th Avenue and Caslow. Officers then followed the suspect and watched him as he keyed a vehicle. Investigators are unsure of the suspect's motives. Police will not release the man's name until he has been charged. He will be slapped with two counts of mischief and may possibly face one count for every car he is accused of damaging.
Big changes are in store for Vancouver's historic Chinatown, and the changes are bringing mixed feelings. In the past year, traditional Chinese businesses have made room for bigger mainstream stores. Coffee shops such as Waves, a 24-hour establishment set to open on Pender and Main in the heart of Chinatown, are gradually popping up. A condominium is on the verge of completion near International Village, the shopping mall that contains Tinseltown Theater and a host of new businesses. Chinatown Area Business Improvement Society Director Cyrus Lee says this kind of development is long overdue. Lee adds Chinatown has been losing business to competition from other Chinese shopping areas in Richmond and Vancouver. He thinks a mix of traditional and modern is what will keep Chinatown alive. The high-rises will bring a well-spending yuppie crowd of residents. But existing merchants are worried big businesses will increase rents and force out the more traditional shops that give Chinatown its distinctive character. Vince Law, a manager of traditional herbal shops, agrees more spenders in the area are necessary. necessary, but the area's long-standing stores may not be able to survive.
A group of students at Surrey's Princess Margaret Secondary School have been told to stop wearing t-shirts expressing support of an independent Sikh homeland. 15 students donned the t-shirts this Friday, which displayed the Sikh homeland name Khalistan under a photo of Sikh militant Sant Jarnail Bhindranwal. Though the students were told by school officials to remove their t-shirts as a sign of respect for their fellow students, none of the students were disciplined for their actions. Surrey School District Communications Manager Doug Strachan says that local Sikh community expressed some concern over the students' choice of clothing. While some view Bhindranwal as a martyr who died in his quest for a Sikh homeland, others view the pursuit of such an ideal as laden with political controversy and violence, and view Bhindranwal as a militant extremist. Several groups associated with the Khalistan movement have been labeled as terrorist organizations and banned by the Canadian government. It's time now for a quick break, but stay tuned to CITR for more news coming up after these public service announcements.
Community Services Society of BC is calling out for volunteers for the KidStart Mentoring Program. The KidStart Mentoring Program matches kids 6 years old and older with an adult mentor. This program is similar to the Big Brothers, except geared towards kids at risk, vulnerable to addiction, crime, abuse, and family crisis. At this moment, there are 243 children and youth waiting for a KidStart volunteer. To volunteer or for more information regarding the KidStart Mentoring Program or PLEA Community Services, please visit our websites, www.plea.ca and www.kidstart.ca.
April edition of Discorder magazine is on the streets now. Features include Ryan McMahon, The Great Outdoors, winners of last year's Shindig competition, and the cover story is an interview with Hot Chip. As always, Discorder features the newest recorded and live music reviews, CITR program guide, and the top 50 charts for the month. The April edition of Discorder can be found everywhere that's remotely cool and is brought to you by the staff and volunteers of Discorder and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Want to see your film up on the big screen?
The Vancouver Student Film Festival is back to showcase the best of BC's post-secondary student and alumni film and video makers on May 24th.
The film festival is looking for entries of all genres, from student or graduate filmmakers within the last 3 years. Films received by March 1st are only $10 and $20 until April 19th.
Only 2 weeks left before the early entry deadline. For entry rules and to submit online, please visit www.vsff.com.
Let the cartoons begin!
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:13. Now, with a look at provincial and national news, we're joined once again by reporters Carrie Baptist and Leanne Yu.
British Columbia's Attorney General Wally Opal says that a decision is forthcoming on what to do about the polygamous community in Bountiful. Opal noticed that police cannot simply go into the community and start making arrests without a formal complaint. The issue of polygamous communities has been in the news recently after hundreds of children were seized by American authorities during a raid on a polygamous community in Texas. Opal reminded reporters that this raid was only possible because there was a complaint by a 16-year-old girl who alleged that she had been abused by the adult male in the community. While direct police action is not an option, the Attorney General will meet next week with Prosecutor Leonard Doust, who has proposed to take the issue to the BC Court of Appeal. Doust explains that the court case would decide whether prosecutions under Canada's polygamy laws would hold up to a potential constitutional challenge on the grounds that polygamy is protected under the right of religious freedom. The community in Bountiful is part of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a sect of the Mormon Church which broke away after the latter outlawed polygamy.
Manitoba has just joined Ontario and BC in compensating living organ donors. The three provinces reimburse organ donors for their charity for things such as travel expenses, meals, childcare, and even lost wages. Exact compensation varies from province to province, but the general idea is the same. The system aims to take a load off organ donors financially when they volunteer to give up a kidney or part of a liver. In Ontario, the program started April 1st, but an official announcement will be made today as part of National Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Week. Donors will be able to apply for up to $5,500 through the Trillium Gift of Life Network, a nonprofit government agency. President and CEO of the Ontario Network, Frank Markle, says the program is a last resort for would-be donors. He says donating an organ is a very generous thing for people to do, and at minimum, they shouldn't be hurt financially.
In BC, 146 donors have received checks since the inception of the province's reimbursement program in 2006. Beryl Ferguson, a Vancouver-based director of the Kidney Foundation of Canada, says that although the provincial programs are important, it's still a patchwork approach to organ donation. Ferguson hopes the program will take hold on a national level so organ donors and recipients in other provinces will not be left out.
And in international news, the Security and Prosperity Summit in New Orleans, and with the arrival of President Bush, brought much controversy. And with more on that, we turn to our friends from Free Speech Radio News.
President Bush is in New Orleans this week for the 4th Annual Security and Prosperity Partnership, or SPP, meeting. The controversial summit with the heads of Mexico and Canada is being met by protests from activists and members of Congress. FSRN correspondent Matt Laszlo reports from Washington.
Over 200 activists are in New Orleans today. They are protesting the Security and Prosperity Partnership Summit being held by the heads of state from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The activists who are holding seminars to highlight the effects of U.S. trade policies say the SPP is even worse than the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA.
Because of NAFTA, 2 million farmers have lost their livelihoods in the last 14 years in Mexico, and others have also lost their livelihoods, forcing them to cross the border in search of work.
That was Jessica Walker Beaumont. She works with the Alliance for Responsible Trade and is one of the event organizers. She says that of the over 30,000 day laborers who are rebuilding New Orleans, many of them had been forced to leave Mexico by NAFTA policies. Beaumont says that the impacts of free trade policies, like the SPP, have similar effects on developing countries to the abandonment experienced by New Orleans residents since Hurricane Katrina hit.
Our protest is building knowledge on the impacts of these policies and how they affect our daily lives, and in doing so, making the connections for folks here on the ground about how what's being discussed in closed doors is actually a manifestation of what's been experienced here in New Orleans post-Katrina.
Ruth Kaplan is with the Alliance for Democracy. She says the SPP allows the heads of the three countries to make some decisions in complete secrecy and at the expense of working families.
For civil society, no one knew really what was going on, and in fact, Congress didn't know either. But the agreement came as no surprise to the corporate sector because they had been advocating for such an agreement in advance. And once the agreement was reached, they were working hand in glove with the Bush administration for implementation.
Kaplan says that the SPP will expand on many controversial aspects first introduced by NAFTA in 1994. At past summits, the leaders discussed enlarging ports and highways to increase trade between the three countries. Diverting Canadian waterways to supply the U.S. have also been on the table. The SPP summit will continue through tomorrow, and the People's Summit will last until Wednesday. Congress recently blocked President Bush from passing a free trade agreement with Colombia, but Congress has no oversight of SPP. A bipartisan group of over 40 members of Congress has spoken out against the SPP, but the Bush administration has not responded to their concerns. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
And thanks as always to Free Speech Radio News for making that piece available to us for rebroadcast. It's time now for another break, but when we come back, there's still much more to come on News 101. Katie Fitzpatrick will tell us what's happening in the local arts scene. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hi, this is William Shatner. Imagine a children's hospital network that boldly goes where none have gone before, and that's Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals combine state-of-the-art research and teaching programs with world-class orthopedic burn, spinal cord injury, and cleft lip and palate medical care. At Shriners, tomorrow's medical care is here today. Call 1-800-361-7256 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Menstruation, the final frontier. This is the research of SEMCOR, its continuing mission to explore strange yet familiar body parts, to seek out new information unfamiliar to the medical profession, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Tired of frantically raising your shields with those unexpected periods? Fed up of not really understanding what's going on in the nether regions of your space? Come to the Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research and learn how to live long and prosper through all phases of your cycle. SEMCOR can give you the tools to chart your way through your cycle so it seems like a safe space rather than the outer reaches of the galaxy. Our prime directive is to educate women about their bodies so they can have peace and a long life. To that end, we're recruiting volunteers for a menstrual cycle and ovulation study involving a personal log and urine samples, all completed in the privacy of your own quarters. Participants must be between the ages of 20 and 40, have menstruated in the last 3 months, and not be taking any hormonal medications such as birth control pills. Resistance is futile. Set your coordinates to www.semcor.ubc.ca or call 604-875-5960. We're the Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research.
The Leo Ramirez Show, the best mix of Latin American music, news, sport, and commentary from around the local and international Latin American communities. Saturday, 5 to 6 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. El show de Leo Ramirez, la mejor mezcla de música, noticias, deportes y comentarios de la comunidad latinoamericana. Sábado de 5 a 6 de la tarde en el 101.9 FM CITR.
Welcome back to News 101 on CITR. I'm Katie Comley coming to you live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight. Right now, it's 5:23 and time for the Arts Report with Katie Fitzpatrick.
Hello and welcome to your 5-Minute Arts Beat here on News 101. I'm your host, Katie Fitzpatrick. Now, there's a lot of events going on in theater right now. One of them is The View from Above. Ruby Slippers Theater presents the English language world premiere of James Long's play. That's till April 27th at Performance Works on Cartwright on Granville Island. Now, also on Granville Island at the Arts Club stage is the new production, Poster Boys. The Arts Club Theater Company presents Michelle Ramil's exploration of love, marriage, and the fear of flying in the harsh glare of the media spotlight. That's starring Lois Anderson, Daniel Arnold, Scott Bellis, and Luke Camilleri. That is until April 26th, once again on the Granville Island stage, and something that may entice or repel you, there is a warning for mature content. Also on in theater at the Pacific Theater on West 12th is The Woodsman. The Canadian premiere of Stephen Fetcher's play looks into the heart and mind of a pedophile. You can find more information about that at pacifictheater.com. It's on until April 26th. Now, I'm pretty sure that a movie version of this came out a few years back with Kevin Bacon, and I really enjoyed that one, actually. It was an interesting insight into the mind of a pedophile, which is a perspective we don't look through very often, so that might be something that's worth checking out. I'm hoping to see it this week, and hopefully I can have a review for you next week. Also on in theaters, True West. Dean Paul Gibson directs Sam Shepard's story of the showdown between two brothers, one a thief and the other a straight arrow, as their lives take a surprising convergence at their mother's Los Angeles home. That is at the Vancouver Playhouse through the Playhouse Theater Company, and that one's on until April 19th, this Saturday. Also on in theaters, The Pillowman. Martin McDonough directs this gritty exploration of art and its nature. That's till April 20th at the Firehall Arts Center on East Cordova. Finally, on at the Paul Theatre at Cadaro is Apparition, a modern ghost story where refugees from Macbeth explore the muddy terrain of nightmares and fears. You can get tickets at ticketstonight.ca. That is till May 3rd. Now, there's also a few events going on in music. This one, Elastic Perspective, is featured in this week's Georgia Strait. The Canadian ensemble Rubber Dance group performs a hybrid of hip-hop and classical dance styles. You can find more information at thecult.com. Not surprisingly, it's at the Vancouver East Cultural Centre on Venables until April 19th. That's this Saturday. Also going on in dance this weekend is Peter Pan. Under the direction of artistic director John Elaine, Ballet British Columbia presents a ballet version of G.M. Barrie's classic tale of a boy who refuses to grow up. That is April 17th to 19th at 8 p.m. at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre at Hamilton and Dunsmuir. Now, unusually, there's actually a lot of events going on in literary events this week as well. First of all, there's the North Shore Writers Festival. The 9th annual festival features readings by headliners William Devereaux, author of Kill All the Judges, and Sandra Gulland, author of Mistress of the Sun. You can find more information at northshorewritersfestival.ca. That's till April 26th at various North and West Vancouver venues. So if you live in that part of the city, that might be something you want to check out. Another event going on in literary events is Extraordinary Canadians. The Vancouver International Writers Festival and Penguin Books presents an event celebrating the launch of a series of biographies and writers, David Adam Richards, Charlotte Gray, and Louis DeSoto. That is April 17th, that's tonight, I believe, yeah, at 7:30 p.m., and that's taking place at the H.R. Macmillan Space Center. A different choice for a literary event. Finally, one more going on tonight at 7 p.m. at the UBC Bookstore at Robson Square. Ryan Arnold and Jordan Scott. The local writers read from their respective works, The Coward Flies and Silt. You can find more information at robsonreadingseries.ubc.ca. Now, if you're interested in art, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on this week because all the art students are now graduating and are doing their graduate showcases. So the first one is the Emily Carr Grad Show, which is opening on May 3rd. So it should be an opening night party that night. And it's going to be, the exhibit's going to be open until Sunday, May 11th. That's at the Emily Carr Institute of Art and Design on Granville Island. So you'll want to keep your eyes open for that. Another one, which actually opens tonight, is the UBC BFA grads are doing their exhibition. That's called Today's Special, showcasing the young talent emerging from the Visual Arts Department at the University of British Columbia. Now, there is an opening tonight, which is from 6 to 10 p.m. The event is taking place at 650 Industrial Avenue, which is at the Main Street Sky Train Station and bus number 3 at Main Street and Industrial Avenue. The final thing going on in art is at Capilano College, also in North Vancouver, where they're having their opening night on Saturday, April 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. And their exhibit will be opening for a little while as well, demonstrating works by their fine arts graduates as well. Now, if you're interested in seeing a movie this week, there's a few new things playing at Fifth Avenue Cinemas. There's Smart People, Under the Same Moon, The Bank Shop, The Bank Job, In Bruges, and The Counterfeiters. Now, The Counterfeiters ends tonight, and I really recommend going out and seeing that. That was the Academy Award winner for Best Foreign Language Film. I reviewed it a few weeks back on my show, Arts Express, and I really enjoyed it, so that's one you'll want to check out as well. Once again, I'm Katie Fitzpatrick for your 5-Minute Arts Beat, and hopefully we'll be back with more listings and a review of The Woodsman next week.
Thanks, Katie. And we're now going to turn things over to Phil Caudry, who discusses why the absence of foreign policy issues in the minds of Canadian voters is a problem and what security issues face our country. Sorry, we're having a bit of technical difficulties with our computer, so we're just going to throw to a PSA and we'll be right back after this. Okay, I apologize. Not a PSA. We're going to go to weather with Selena Ferris.
Another variable week is coming our way. Overnight, conditions will clear, leaving tomorrow sunny with cloudy periods and a high of 12 degrees. Wednesday, we'll see a mix of sun and cloud with a chance of showers, a high of 13, and a low down to 4 degrees. Thursday will clear up again with a high of 12, but conditions will turn rainy in time for Friday. That's your 5-day weather brought to you by the Storm Club at UBC. For more information, you can email us at stormubc@gmail.com.
Thanks very much, Selena. And now that our computer is finally working, we're going to throw things back to Phil Caudry for political commentary.
The U.S. presidential election rages on, with John McCain making his case for another GOP term and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton duking it out to become the Democrats' presidential nominee. While the economy has become the number one issue for voters, national security is still a hot topic. Iraq, Afghanistan, and Homeland Security will still be crucial for the remaining candidates. Over here in Canada, there have been two federal elections since the September 11th attacks. Canada is also involved in the Afghan mission. Yet national security and the war on terror have been comparatively lower key issues in Canadian elections. Domestic issues such as government corruption and health care have proven to be decisive in the last two electoral outcomes. Due to this dynamic, national security has been left to the House of Commons with little pressure from the Canadian public to ensure the will of the people or accountability. Does this matter, though? If Canadians simply do not see foreign policy and national security as salient issues, then why should the House of Commons take their views into account? Well, consider this. Canada is the second largest country geographically, but with a scant population of 33 million. Do the math and you will see that it is in fact a very large undertaking to defend this country. Considering Canada's involvement in Afghanistan, the 2010 Olympics, and radical forces both at home and abroad, national security hasn't been so concerning in a generation. Canada by no means has to follow in lockstep with the United States foreign policy, but it is imperative for the issues to be brought into public discussion so Canadians can determine how our country is best able to protect itself, both at home and abroad. The last thing this country needs is a focusing event, such as the September 11th attacks, to engage Canadians on national security. If anything, such a focusing event could be a catalyst for irrational policymaking. With the 2010 Olympics approaching in less than 2 years, it should be more than enough incentive to bring security issues to the forefront of Canadian policymaking. For News 101 Commentary, I'm Phil Caudry.
And thanks to Phil for the last word on political commentary. And that's our program for Monday, April 21st, 2008. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. And if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email us at news@citr.ca. Megan Turcotto produced this radio program. For more news, join us Friday. Actually, join us next Monday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. For the entire news team here at CITR, this is Katie Conley thanking you for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Track coming up next on 101.9 FM CITR.